James Dog Food presents Juvenile Jury. Yes, it's Juvenile Jury, brought to you by GAINES, Gaines Complete Meal, a meal that nourishes every inch of your dog. We invite you to spend 30 minutes with the children of America as they attempt to solve the problems which you, the listeners, send in. Of course, if your problem concerns the feeding of your dog, our jurors will give you just one answer. They'll tell you to feed Gaines Complete Meal. Gaines is more economical to feed than any other type of dog food. Gaines is a meal dogs love. Gaines is America's largest selling dog food. Now to introduce our jurors, here's the originator of Juvenile Jury and our program moderator, Jack Barry.
Thank you, John Scott, and hello again, everyone. Waiting to prove that children should be heard as well as seen are five average alert youngsters. Their ages ranging from 5 to 10. Reading from left to right, meet
Dickie Allen, age 7. Robin Morgan, age 5.
Conwell, age 9.
Peggy Bruder, age 10.
Charlie Hankerson, age 6.
Thanks, children. Now let's tip into the mailbag for our very first question. As you know, for every question put before the jury, the sender receives a $100 monitor combination radio phonograph with an automatic record changer that plays both 10 and 12-inch records, plus a complete album of four brand-new comedy records by George Burns and Gracie Allen, one of the top 10 albums. We open with a letter from a mother in Chicago, and incidentally, we'll have an important announcement for folks in and around Chicago later on in the program. She wants your advice on a problem which she sent to us, and of course, we're sending her a radio phonograph and a top 10 album. Mrs. P.H. writes us that, "I have four-year-old twins, Charlie and Richard, who are always trying to imitate their daddy. They insist on wearing two-piece pajamas instead of Denton's. They keep plastering their faces with their daddy's shaving cream. And when he's away, they pour his shaving lotion on their heads and rub it in. What can we do?" Charlie Hankerson's first.
"Well, what is it? What do you mean he purrs that on? He must look awful silly. With all the things on him."
"Who must look awful silly, Charlie?"
"Richard and Charlie."
"Oh, I see. They do look silly."
"That's what I thought."
"Yeah." Peggy Bruder?
"Do you mean to say that they've washed the dishes also?"
"Who said anything about washing dishes?
Well, don't the husbands usually wash the dishes?"
"I don't know. Not being a husband, I don't feel qualified to answer that, Peggy. Con Lu.
"What are their names?"
"Charlie and Richard."
"Well, if the father spanks Richard, does Charlie spank Richard, too?"
"I hope not. Let's have a little pity on poor Richard. Robin Morgan.
"Instead of wearing two-piece pajamas, why doesn't the mother also buy dentists for the father?"
"I'm not sure that he'd like that too much, Robin." Vicki Erland.
"Well, I think that these boys don't know how to wax in the house, and they ought to be housebroken."
"Well, that's a good suggestion on a game dog food program anyway, Dickie." Charlie Hankerson.
"Well, if they do that all the time, why you don't make them wear diapers, and then they won't like that so much, and then they won't do it."
Make Charlie and Richard wear diapers?
"Yes."
"Instead of pajamas?"
"Yes."
"How long is it since you've worn diapers, Charlie?"
"About, let's say, 5 years."
"Pretty rough guess. Peggy Bruder?"
"Well, it's lucky that they don't have quintuplets."
"I should say. Con Lu.
"Do the neighbors' boys shave?"
"Neighbors' boys shave? It doesn't say. Why do you say that?"
"Well, maybe they want to join in the fun."
"Oh, I see. They're imitating the neighbor's boys. That may be." Robin Morgan.
"Well, why doesn't the mother tell the two twins that let them enjoy their youngness while they're young?"
"I see. That's good, Robin. And conversely, let the parents enjoy their oldness while they're old, I suppose." Do any of you kids on the juvenile jury imitate anyone, anybody? Any of you have any talent for imitating people? Con, who do you imitate?
"I imitate Charlie McCarthy."
"You do? Would you like to imitate him for us?"
"Yeah. Hiya, Bergen."
Con, I don't mean to be rude, but is that the entire invitation?
No.
Oh, there's more?
Just a part of it, but I don't remember the rest of it.
Well, it was very good. Indeed, it was very, very good as far as you went, John. I'm sure that no one would have difficulty recognizing that invitation. Well, Charlie Hangers, let's get back to you a moment. I want to compliment you on a wonderful job you did of editing the Young America section of the November issue of Magazine Digest. You certainly showed a lot of ability as a journalist, and perhaps that'll influence what you want to be in later life. What do you want to be when you get older, Charlie?
A baseball player.
Well, you may change your mind if you see what a swell job you've done in the November issue of Magazine Digest, which is on sale to all newsstands. And, talking of writers, Peggy Bruder, you showed that you certainly can get words together, too, in that story that you wrote, and I Am a Juvenile Jury, which is appearing in the November issue of Radio Mirror, and that, too, is on sale to all newsstands. Looks like the juvenile jury is turning into a bunch of literary geniuses.
Thank you.
Now let's go back to our problems here. From Manhattan, a letter from Master J.K., to whom we're sending a monitor radio phonograph with a top 10 record album. Master K. writes as follows. He says, my sister always moves the furniture around in my room. She wants to make it look larger. When I go into my room, I trip and fall before I can put on the light. I also can't sleep well because I'm used to having the bed in one place, and when she changes it, I just can't sleep. What can I do? Charlie Hankson.
If you want that so bad, why you don't tie ropes that you're sure your sister can untie them where you like it, and then she won't be able to do anything so you want, and you won't trip and fall any place.
All right, Charlie. Thank you. Peggy Bruder?
Well, as long as you trip and fall when you come into the room, why don't you come in wearing a bow?
That'll ward off everything. All right, thank you. Kong Lu.
You know what radar is?
Radar? I have a general idea, yes.
Well, why doesn't he use it when he goes into the room?
Oh, I see. Very good. And, Kong, let us never forget that radar, spelled backwards, is radar. Robin Morgan.
Do you mean, Mr. Barry, that by moving furniture, you can make rooms look bigger?
Well, I think that most interior decorators agree on that. You can make rooms look bigger, yes.
Then if they moved all the chairs around in this theater, they could make it look as big as Madison Square Garden and have the circus here?
Robin, I have news for you. We have a circus here every Sunday afternoon. Where's Norland?
Well, you should tell her that she's wasting her life for nothing, because she could be making money working for a furniture mover.
Very good. Incidentally, Vicki Orland, old boy, this just occurred to me that this little stunt these kids pull, it sounds to me like something you and Junior on the Red Skelton would do when you get together. Doesn't that sound like a logical stunt for you kids to do?
Yeah, but I would move the furniture. I'd make Junior do that.
Well, I think that he'd probably do it, especially if it were not Nancy Friedman's house. Now, let's get back to Peggy Bruder.
Well, why don't you use one of those, those O'Brien beds.
Use what?
You know, those O'Brien beds.
O'Brien beds? What are O'Brien beds?
You know, the beds that fold up in the wall?
Murphy beds. I had a hunch that's what you were driving at. Charlie Hankinson.
Well, I think that you could change your sister's furniture around, and then you could get even with the Metro World like that, so she would quit it.
Right.
You.
Thank you. Dickie Orland.
Well, if you don't want to bump into anything when he goes into his room, he should buy an automobile bumper, and he should wear one in front of him and one behind.
One behind? Mm-hmm, yeah. Tom?
Why don't you put a white sheet near the door?
I beg your pardon, Tom?
Why don't you put a white sheet near the door?
All right, thank you. Charlie?
Well, I think that you should do this. Well, besides changing your furniture around, maybe put some of your furniture in there and then you swap a little bit, but then she won't know what's in the room, and then she'll be walking in, and she'll say, this doesn't belong to me, and you just keep it in there, and then she won't know what to do, so she would have to change it all over again herself, so that you could get even with her, and she wouldn't do anything to you.
Well, Charlie, I think that they, you better explain to the sister you can't sleep in the bed moved about and ask her to decide once and for all how she'd like that furniture placed, and I think that would solve the problem. Now here's our very popular feature, Gaines Dog Guest of the Week. Each week we bring a real dog on stage to see if the juvenile jury can identify it. And here it comes now.
This is John Scott speaking off stage where the jurors can't hear me. Today we have two dog guests and they're Irish setters. Now back to Jack Barry.
Well, kids, if you think you're seeing double, you are. For today, we have two dog guests, and they look almost identical. A handsome brace they are, too, with pure, bright, reddish-brown coats, long, silky ears, and moderately long, tapering tails that are well-feathered. They stand about 27 inches at the shoulder, weigh about 70 pounds, and give the impression of being a mixture of beauty and strength. Now, who knows what kind of dogs these are? Any of you want to take a guess? Dickie Orland?
An Irish setter.
Uh-huh. What do you think, Peggy?
An Irish setter.
Charlie?
Irish setter.
Charlie, let's get it straight for the record. What kind of a dog is it?
An Irish setter.
I see. Thank you. Tom Lou?
Irish setter.
Robin?
Irish setter.
Boy, there's no doubt about it. Gaines Dog Guests of the Week are Irish setters. They're father and daughter, and their names are Domino and Patty. As you'd expect, these dogs originally come from Ireland, but being typically Irishmen with fun-loving dispositions, they're favorites everywhere. They probably sleep in O'Brien beds, Peggy. Suppose you tell us what kind of work Irish setters do. Robin?
Well, I think they're good for hunting lions and tigers and very, very ferocious animals.
Robin, the Irish are known to be good fighters, but that's carrying it a little too far. Con Lou?
I think they're used for hunting ducks.
Uh-huh. What do you think, Charlie?
I think they're used for hunting wild animals.
And what about you, Dickie Orland?
Well, I think that they're a mascot for the Navy.
No, I think that's wrong. I think they have Billy Goat, the mascot for the Navy. And the Navy's not very happy today about the defeat they got from Pennsylvania yesterday. Peggy Bruder?
Well, they're a sporting dog, so I suppose they'd hunt game and retrieve them.
Well, that's right. Irish setters are sporting dogs, gun dogs to be exact. They're excellent gun dogs, too. In fact, the Irish Setter Club of America reports that when they first came to America and were used on kinds of birds which were new to them, they made out exceptionally well. They do well at dog shows, too, thanks to their great beauty. But now, here's an interesting fact, kids. You know, for a time, their great beauty hindered them somewhat, rather than helped them. Can anyone explain why their beauty didn't help them at first for a long time? That's a pretty difficult question. Yes, Peggy?
Well, maybe when they were hunting the game or whoever they were hunting, maybe the birds or whoever they were hunting got frightened of their color, or they didn't know what it was.
No, that's not quite right. Robin?
Well, perhaps that was many years ago, and they weren't known very well at that time, and so the people not knowing them, they didn't think that they were beautiful.
Oh, and then the birds got to know them, they had a talking acquaintance, and they settled things down. I see. Well, no, that's not right. You see, Irish setters are such beautiful dogs that a few years ago, many of them were bred for looks alone rather than for their sporting ability. Now, however, it's the other way around. They're bred more for their natural hunting ability. It's paid off, too, for Irish setters are not only winning field trials, they're winning dog shows, too.
Yes, and that calls for being in good condition, Jack.
Right, Scotty.
And if they're fed Gaines' complete meal, they certainly should be. For Gaines nourishes every inch of a dog, contains every type of nourishment they're known to need. Yes, Gaines is a nutritionally balanced complete meal that supplies many things meat alone cannot provide. And just listen, Gaines is more economical to feed than any other type of dog food. If you don't believe me, compare the cost of Gaines with, well, say, canned dog foods. A 5-pound package of Gaines provides nourishment equal to 15 1-pound cans of canned dog food. Yet that Gaines 5-pound package costs less than half as much. Furthermore, since canned dog foods are cooked in the can, many of them contain up to 70% water. Gaines, however, is over 90% dry, concentrated food. You add the liquid yourself at no extra cost. Buy nourishment, buy Gaines. Gaines' complete meal is at grocery and pet supply stores. Order a package tomorrow. Remember, your dog will speak. Speak for Gaines. America's largest selling dog food.
Thanks, Scotty, and thanks to our Gaines Dog Guest of the Week. Take a bow, Domino and Patty. Now, as a regular feature of Juvenile Jury, we invite our younger listeners to present their problems here in person. This week we have with us 6-year-old Kathy Chapman, who lives in New York. Kathy, will you step up to the microphone and tell your problem to the jury? All right, Kathy, what is your problem?
My sister doesn't let me enjoy music. What shall I do?
Well, kid, now let's get some questions. Charlie?
What kind of music?
Just little baby pieces that I play, and she plays nursery rhymes on the records.
All right. Yes, Charlie?
What kind of nursery rhymes?
Persistent little fellow, isn't he?
Well, just like Old King Cole and that stuff.
Oh, yes, that's probably recorded by the King Cole Trio, too. Peggy Bruder?
Well, how does she annoy you?
Well, she doesn't let me practice, and when I want to play the records, like the Betty Hutton records, she doesn't let me play them.
Oh, you like Betty Hutton?
Yep. Is she your favorite star? Well, yes.
Uh-huh. Yes, Vicki Orland.
Did you say that you like Betty Hutton?
Yes.
Yes, that's what she said, Vicki. Why?
You mean the lady that screams?
Well, she doesn't exactly scream.
No, she's a mighty fine actress, too, Vicki.
Well, maybe you should keep it up, and maybe you'll go to Hollywood and get a scream test, too.
Well, it seems that's pretty hard to get. Robin Morgan.
Have you got a few teeth out?
It's a rather personal question, don't you think?
Well, did they hurt when they came out?
No.
I have a few teeth out, and they didn't hurt when mine came out.
Why don't you two kids go outside and talk to them over?
How old were you when you lost your teeth?
Well, nothing. They just bled a little bit.
What did you say?
The ones down here. The ones down here did, but that one up there.
Did you put them under your pillow?
Did you? Yes.
How much did you get?
For the one on top, I got a dollar. For the one...
No, I wasn't responded by a toothpaste.
Yeah.
Well, let's get back to the problem, Robin.
You know.
Okay.
Well, what kind of music do you listen to? You do listen to me?
Well, what kind of music do you listen to?
Well, the Betty Hutton records.
Yes.
Well, how do you listen to them?
I wonder if Betty Hutton lost any teeth lately. Not so you.
Do you play the music? How do you listen to it? Do you play it, or do you listen to it by records, or do you listen to it over the radio?
I listen to it by records.
Congo.
How old is your sister?
How old is your sister, Kathy?
2.5. 2.5.
Yes, Vicki.
Do you play any instrument?
No. Just the piano.
Well, that explains everything. Kids, let's take a run down here, and I'll see what we can do about her sister, who doesn't let her practice when she wants to and doesn't let her enjoy her music. Vicki, what do you think she should do?
Well, I want to ask one question.
Sure.
When you play the piano, does your sister annoy you then?
Yes. Yeah.
Well, you know, they annoy us typewriters, and your sister wouldn't even know that you're playing if you had someone fix up for you and annoys this piano.
All right. Thank you. Robin Morgan?
Well, my mother once told me that music is the language of the soul. So why don't you enjoy the music in this foreign language? And then your sister won't understand you and she'll leave you alone.
She really can talk clear when she's got her teeth in all the way. Robin, well, thank you. Kong Lu.
Well, why don't you go to somewhere that you play records? Then she won't bother you.
Well, where's that somewhere?
Well, maybe in a candy store.
All right. Peggy, she would be able to eat the candy. She's got trouble with her teeth, too, Don. Peggy Bruder.
Well, why does your mother get her a little toy piano? But, of course, it's better to play. And let her play that. Because, after all, when she grows up, she may be a very big musician.
All right. And finally, Charlie Hankinson.
Well, if she wants to play it so badly, she can play it and tell her sister that she doesn't want her to play it and tell her tell her parents on her, and then she'll stop doing that immediately, and then she can enjoy her records how she wants.
Well, maybe that's good.
Thank you, Charlie. I think that a schedule ought to be arranged by the mother so that when you are practicing, that your younger sister is somewhere else in the house so that she can't be anywhere near to disturb you, because your music is certainly very important. Thank you very much for being with us, Kathy Chapman. If you would like to attend a broadcast of Juvenile Jury here in New York City, write to Juvenile Jury, Box 148, New York 8, and tickets will be mailed out. Now, here's that important announcement I said at the start of the show for you folks out along Chicago way. Ever since we've been on the air, we've been broadcasting right here in the Guild Theater in New York City. But on November the 16th, we'll be broadcasting from that great city in the Midwest, Chicago. This will be the Juvenile Jury's first out-of-town trip. And so if you live in or around Chicago and would like to attend the November 16th broadcast of Juvenile Jury, write to the ticket office, Mutual Broadcasting System, Tribune Tower, Chicago, Illinois. If you'd like to attend the Juvenile Jury broadcast of November the 16th in Chicago, write to the ticket office, Mutual Broadcasting System, Tribune Tower, Chicago. We'll be looking forward to meeting a lot of you. Now let's go back to our questions. The next letter was sent by Mrs. K.Y., who is from Chicago, incidentally. We're sending her a $100 radio phonograph with a top 10 record album, and she writes as follows. On rainy days, when my 5-year-old son has to stay in the house, he insists on playing with his water pistol. He comes into the kitchen and fills his gun from a pot of soup or stew that's cooking on the stove and shoots it at the curtains and all over the room. What can I do? Charlie Hankinson.
He shoots it at the curtains. If he does that, then they'll get through so much. Why, you don't take them down at rainy days and just put them away and put them back up on sunny days so we won't be able to record about that.
Charlie, just one question. What did you call those things that are hanging up?
The curtains.
Curtains, that a boy. Right. I thought you said curtains. Thank you, Peter.
Why don't you waterproof the house?
Waterproof the house?
Yes.
That'd probably be a pretty costly operation.
Well, for that matter, Mr. Barry, why don't you soup-proof the house?
Okay, so, waterproofing is a little more logical. Kong Lu?
Maybe he shoots his water pistol because he gets a bang out of it.
Well, Kong Lu, I'm sure he does. Dickie Orlin.
Well, the mother should make the curtains out of sponge. Then when he shoots on them and they're ready to eat, all the mother has to do is wring out the curtains.
All right, kids, I think you've all given some very, very excellent suggestions. Do we have time for another letter, or do we get to our next in person? No, I guess we haven't got time for another letter, but our jurors will be back in just a moment with more questions and answers. Now, here's John Scott and Gaines Talking Dog.
You know, Gainesy, I've been thinking. Your vocabulary needs a new word. Like what? Like K-R-U-N-C-H-O-N. Crunch on? Yes, fella. Gaines Crunch On. Gosh, you got that right off. And you know, boy, you'll go for Crunch On right off, too. For Crunch On is Gaines meal compressed into crunchy, bite-sized pellets. What do you think of that? That's good. That's good for you, too. You see, Crunch On, like Gaines' complete meal, nourishes every inch of a dog. It contains everything dogs are known to need. Proteins, fats, carbohydrates, plus all the essential vitamins and minerals and more of the required amount. You want Crunch On? Then sit up, fella, and I'll toss you one. There. Nice catch, Gaines. Isn't Crunch On a swell reward for a trick well done? Come on, isn't it? Yes, yes, indeed. Yes is right, boy. So next time Master goes shopping, talking to bring you Gaines Crunch On. And what else, boy? Gaines complete meal. Yes, fella. Play it smart and always be sure you speak. Speak for Gaines. America's largest selling dog.
Thank you, Scotty and Gainesy. Here's our second in-person guest of the week. He is four and a half year old, Eugene Snyder of the Bronx, New York. Gene, will you please tell your problem to the jury?
When I get up in the morning, my mother wants me to read, but I want to play. I'm waiting at the jury.
I see. You get up in the morning, you want to play, but your mother wants you to eat. All right, let's see what the kids think about it. Charlie?
What do you mean, want to play? I do, too. I play at 10 o'clock when I don't have to go to school.
Peggy?
How old are you?
4 years.
And then do you have to go to school?
Yes.
What school do you go to?
Holy Spirit School.
Holy Spirit School. All right. Any other questions here? Kong Lu?
What time do you get up?
7 o'clock.
What time do you have to go to school?
What time do you go to school, Jane? About 8:30?
I think 8:30 or so.
Yes, Robin?
What time do you go to bed?
7 o'clock.
Well, what time do you wake up?
7 o'clock.
What time do you have your breakfast? Gene really thinks about these things, doesn't he?
What time do you... How long hours
let him, Robin, excuse me, dear. Let him answer this one question. What time do you have your breakfast?
I think...
No,
7 o'clock.
Well, how long do you sleep?
There's a lot of confusion at 7 o'clock, isn't there?
How long do you sleep? How long do you sleep?
Oh, Robin, we'll be here all afternoon before he figures this one out. If 7 to 7 is 12 hours, I'll figure that one out for Gene. That's pretty hard. Vicki Orland.
Can you tell time?
No.
Well, why don't you tell your mother that your stomach can't tell time either? And you don't want to know for nothing.
Charlie Hankinson, did you have another question you wanted to ask?
No.
No, okay. Peggy Bruder?
Well, why don't you want to eat?
Why don't you want to eat, Gene?
Why don't you want to eat?
Because I'm not hungry in the morning.
Why does your mother want to eat?
I get strength to go out and play.
Give you strength to go out and play, I see. That's a good reason. Yes, Robin?
Well, how old are you?
He said before, he's 4 and a half, Robin.
Well, aren't you hungry after that long 12-hour sleep?
No.
Tell me, is there anything special that you get for breakfast?
No, I really don't have anything special.
Let's take a quick run down here and find out what time you should get up and whether you should go out to play or whether you should be allowed to eat. What do you think, Dickie? Shall I eat first or play first?
Well, you should drink a lot of water before you go to bed. And then you'll be so busy getting up during the night that...
Thank you, Richard. Thank you very much. Robin Morgan?
Well, why don't you and your mother compromise that instead of really eating when you wake up, you'll just take about 15 or 19 vitamin pills.
All right.
And then you won't need to eat.
Thank you very much.
And you'll just go out and play.
Kong Lu?
Well, I think you should eat before you play. Then it'll give you more strength.
All right. Peggy Bruder?
After such a long night's sleep, you definitely should. And you should have vitamins anyway.
All right, Charlie Hankinson.
I think that you should eat before you play.
I think it's generally agreed by the members of the juvenile jury that you better eat something before you play. Thank you very much for being with us, Gene Snyder. Now here's John Scott to tell you how you may win a radio phonograph.
If you have a question, send it to Juvenile Jury, Box 148, New York 8, New York. If your question is used on the air, you'll receive a $100 monitor combination radio phonograph with an automatic record changer that plays both 10 and 12-inch records, plus a complete album of four brand-new comedy records by George Burns and Gracie Allen, one of the top 10 albums. The decision of the judges is final, and all entries become our property.
Thank you, John. Our time is up, so until next week, good luck from...
Dickie Rowan.
Robin Morgan.
Kong Liu.
Peggy Bruder.
Charlie Hankinson.
And from me, Jack Barry, with this closing thought. Out of the mouths of babes, all times come gems. Goodbye.
Juvenile Jury is presented each week at the same time by Gaines Complete Meal, a meal that nourishes every inch of your dog. This is John Scott speaking. This program came from New York. Stay tuned now for a fascinating story of strange events on House of Mystery. This is the Mutual Broadcasting System.